Welcome to Sermons from San Diego, a podcast of preaching at Mission Hills United Church of Christ. I'm the Reverend Dr. David Barr, but please just call me David. I invite you to listen and come along as we try to follow the teachings of Jesus and the wisdom of Scripture to build a world that is open, inclusive, just, and compassionate. And now for this week's sermon. So what do you know about Peter? Also known as Simon, a.k.a. Simon Peter. Three different names in just one short passage. And also known in the Gospel of John as Cephas. But for the sake of simplicity, I'm just going to call him Peter. And back to my original question, what do you know about him? He's named in lots of stories, 195 times. I mean, you compare that to all the other disciples who receive only 130 mentions combined. All we know about some of the 12 is their name. But Peter's name pops up in story after story, except not as a complete narrative of his own. There's something about Peter. But what is it? Well, this Lent, we're going to try to find out. We're going to take a deeper dive into the faith of this one individual, and yet even so, we'll only get to skim the surface of what we'll discover is a quite impetuous, impulsive, and unfiltered character. A deeply flawed, but even more, deeply passionate and committed disciple of Christ. In the end, we may discover he is someone with whom we can find a connection, something about him for which we can say, oh, if I'm honest, that's me too. So when you hear the name Peter, are there any stories that come to mind? For me, the number one is Peter's insistence that he will never, never, ever deny Jesus. There's no way I would ever do such a thing. Immediately followed by three denials. I don't know the man. I already told you I don't know that man. That's almost always the first thing I think of with Peter, because, of course, I would never do such a thing. I would never do such a thing. The second thing we know about Peter is, that I know at least, is how he asked Jesus to walk on water. Jesus said, yeah, sure, come on in. Peter got out of the boat and started actually walking on water, and then became afraid because he was actually walking on water, and so he began to sink, and he cried out, help! Which, of course, he wouldn't have needed to do if he hadn't been so impetuous in the first place. But you've never done something like that, right? Not me. Third, one day, Jesus responded to something Peter said by saying, get behind me, Satan. Ow. But do you suppose Peter learned a lesson from that experience, like, don't speak before listening? But of course not. He's Peter. And he's me. And maybe you. I should probably already know Peter was one of the first of the 12 disciples, but did you know that how he became one of the first is different depending on the gospel? So in Mark, which is what we're most probably familiar with, Jesus simply walked by Peter and his brother Andrew and said, come follow me. And immediately they did. And then they came upon James and John and they left everything immediately too. Matthew copied and pasted this into his gospel straight out of Mark. But curiously now, Matthew cut this next part. So in Mark, these new disciples followed him to the synagogue and listened to Jesus preach when all of a sudden a demon interrupted him. Jesus told it to leave, which it did by screaming as it writhed its way out of a man. These pairs of brothers just stood there and watched and wondered, what have we gotten ourselves into? But in Mark, everyone's in a big hurry, so off they go. And again, Matthew just skipped that whole incident. But then there's Luke, who has a very different pace. and a very different take on the calling of the first disciples. So in Luke, Jesus has already been preaching for a while. In Mark, no one really knew who he was. Do you know, in Luke, the first time Jesus preached, it was to his hometown crowd in Nazareth. But after his very first sermon, they ran him out of town and tried to throw him off a cliff. So after that, he went down to preach in Capernaum every Sabbath instead. And it was on one of those occasions that the screaming demon writhed its way out of a man. And after this startling event, Peter invited Jesus to his house. Or maybe, as it is sometimes that it happened, Jesus invited himself to Peter's house, only that they discovered Peter's mother-in-law in bed with a fever. Jesus healed her, and word got around, and that night people brought folks from all over town to Peter's doorstep, begging Jesus to help them. But then that was it. After that long night, Jesus went back to preaching at other synagogues all around Galilee, and Peter went back to work. So in Luke, Jesus is a wandering, itinerant preacher, a little while here, a little while there. In Mark, everything is immediate. But Luke takes his time to let things unfold. Some of us like to just jump right in, but for those of us who want to think about a decision a little more, maybe Luke is our gospel. Peter didn't just jump up and follow Jesus immediately after seeing his mother-in-law jump up from her fever. Peter went back to work because in real life, what other choice do we have? I grew up on a dairy farm, and my father might have been at the hospital to witness the miracle of the birth of his first child at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But he still had to go home and milk the cows by 5:30, and every 12 hours. Peter needed to go back to work, too. He was a fisherman, and fishermen fished every day, except the Sabbath. And some days were better than others. You know, I wonder if a fisherman's better days were outnumbered by the days they didn't even catch a minnow. Well, it was at the end of one of those not-even-a-minnow days that Peter and his partners were finally cleaning their nets, and Jesus walked by along the shoreline, followed, always followed, by a crowd hungry to hear him teach. So let's be clear. In Luke, Jesus wasn't a stranger to Peter. Jesus had been at his house back whenever that was. And Jesus asked Peter to row out a little ways so he could talk to the crowd pressing in on him. Now, that's one thing to ask. I mean, sure, Peter would have had to pause for a little while before going home for supper. But then Jesus asked for something much more. To stop the crew from their end-of-work routine, to go back out and do it again. And Peter spoke up for himself and everyone else. We're tired. We're worn out from a long day. But, I mean, Jesus had just healed his mother-in-law, however long ago that was. Those nets, you know, were heavy. They have weights attached in order for them to sink. And they're awkward and slimy, especially as you stand on a slippery, wet boat. Throwing those things overboard when you're already tired, well, that was a pretty big ask of Jesus. But you know how it turned out. The haul of fish was so big, it began to tear those big, heavy, slimy nets. And so a second crew had to come out to help because there were so many fish. Both boats nearly swamped. And Peter saw all this happening, and his response was, "Get away from me." It wasn't, "Wow, thank you." It wasn't, "Wow, could you come back every day?" No, it was, "Get away from me. I'm a sinner." By which he meant, "I'm not worthy of this." We know that's what Jesus, how Peter responded. Excuse me. We know this because Jesus' response to Peter wasn't, "Yeah, you're right, Peter, you're a dirty, filthy rag, but I'll forgive you." No, Jesus' response to this, "Get away from me," is, "Don't be afraid." I mean, don't be afraid of what? Too many fish? But first, I want to say, this same story is also told in the Gospel of John with some details changed. First of all, in Luke, the story of this great haul of fish is how Jesus starts gathering his disciples. It's at the beginning. In John, this story happened after the resurrection of Jesus, at the end. Jesus was gone, and so they got out their nets, this post-resurrection. They got out their boats and nets because, well, that's what they did for a living. And they're trying to process what had happened, and so maybe they were distracted, which is why they didn't catch any fish that night. But Jesus called out from the shore to throw their nets on the other side. And I like that slight change from Mark's, go do it again. Mark says, go do the same thing, but try the other side. And when they did, so many fish, 153 to be exact, for whatever exact reason, and all those fish jumped into the net and almost pulled down the whole boat. But one more little odd detail, only in John's version, so, you know, out there on the boat fishing with all the others, Peter's naked. And when someone saw Jesus coming, Peter quickly grabbed his coat, wrapped it around his waist, and then jumped into the water to race his way to Jesus, completely ignoring all the other disciples who will need him as they struggle to haul in that enormous catch of fish. But I just think, why did John think we need to know that detail about Peter? What does it tell us about Peter that he's out fishing naked? But then they all get to the beach, and Jesus had prepared them a nice pescatarian breakfast, and afterward asked Peter, do you love me? And he asked him this three times, to which Peter answered with escalating annoyance, yes, yes, well, Jesus Christ, I mean, literally, you know I do. But these are some stories that are coming later. We have 5 weeks for him. And so, as we start to get to know Peter, what are some things we know? Well, he was impulsive, and he often spoke before thinking. He was impetuous, and he often took action before considering the consequences. He was unfiltered, and held nothing back, and wore his feelings on his sleeve. He was an I'm-all-in kind of guy. He was boastful, and he wanted to do great things, and was then frightened of being able to do those great things. He was hot-headed, and promised to never break a promise, and then broke a promise. But then, when he realized he had broken his promise, he didn't try to blame someone else for his failure. It broke his heart. And he understood what he had done, and he tried to change his ways. Until, once again, he acted impulsively, impetuously, unfiltered, boastful, and hot-headed. I mean, God love him. Bless his heart. Oh, and then, yeah, sometimes he fished naked. Another one of the ways that I guess Peter was unfiltered and apparently free-spirited. But I'm grateful Peter didn't have a filter. He's real. He's us. Perhaps it would be nice if we all felt as free to express our emotions as we wanted. Because if he had thought about it a little more before he spoke, he might not have immediately responded to seeing all that abundance with, I'm not worthy of this. But then we wouldn't have heard Jesus say to him what sometimes we need Jesus to say to us. Don't be afraid. Don't waste your time with such nonsense about what you deserve or don't. Use what God has given you and don't be afraid of it. After all, this is the story of his call to the first disciples, the same one to us today, come follow me. And why? Because there are people waiting. There are people hungry for your love. People who need your time. People who deserve your attention. So don't ask whether you deserve it. Just use all the abundance God gives to you to feed sheep, the sheep that Jesus called out to Peter to care for. I mean, what are we waiting for? There's nothing to fear, and there's nothing to gain by saying, oh, I don't deserve this.